Isaiah chapter 26, I want to read two verses, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. You know, we, as I mentioned this morning, live in a life that really can rob us of peace, really take away any chance of peace in our life if we're not where we need to be. And there are so many things in this world that can rob that peace. And I thought tonight, you know, I'd give you a list of different things in the world that would rob our peace, but I've changed my mind. I've really been thinking about how we as Christians live our lives and how we relate to each other and how we live at church. And I think sometimes we really don't open up our hearts the way we should and open up our lives the way we should. You know, we have circles in our lives. And we kind of let some people in this circle, but not that circle, and then this circle, but not that circle. And we tend to not open up, and I think that kind of robs us of helping each other. So I want us to open up for a moment. Might not do really well for the internet, but I'll try to repeat what everyone has said, so those who skipped church tonight can go back and listen to the message on the internet. Or maybe we'll just not put this one on so they get robbed of it. Tell me tonight, what robs you of peace? Be open and honest. What thing that comes your way that gets you flustered, robs you of peace? Future. How far in the future? How far in the unknown future? Tomorrow? A year from now? Okay. Family difficulties. Okay. Work difficulties. Sin. Financial difficulties. Should have been here this morning. He was working. Actually, he was working this morning for free, right? Yeah. Frank works for the state in the state jail. And as you know, everybody in the state now is working for free. He's one of them who can't even go out on strike because all the inmates would be running amok. But get the message on the internet. Health crisis. Health difficulties, all right? Anyone else? What robs, I mean you, not your neighbor, you. What robs you of peace? Believing Satan's lies. Okay? Who else? Be honest. Be open. Worry. Worry robs you of peace. Okay? Gene, is that a hand up or just there? Just kind of, hi, Gene. Simon has his hand up. Oh, you. Gene robs you of peace. Never mind. Frank, you had your hand up. Other people rob you of peace. Fear. Okay. Politicians in Washington can rob you of peace, certainly. Belinda? Guilt. All right. Well, I think sometimes, as I mentioned this morning, that you know we need to come to a place in our life where we really believe God, where we really believe that God's word is true. And I think sometimes, Michelle mentioned Satan's lies. Sometimes we believe Satan's lies, and I think sometimes we don't think we can have peace. Yeah, I think sometimes, even as Christians, we don't believe, let me say it this way, we believe when certain things come our way that it is not possible to have peace. But I want you to know tonight it is. I want you to know it is possible to have peace in every single circumstance. Now, it is something that you learn and you grow in as you mature in your relationship with Christ. It is not something that is automatic. It is not something that, all right, I got peace now, and it doesn't mean you're not going to have peace in the next moment, because you could go back to the way you were thinking and living. But it is possible to live a life of peace, and all these things we just talked about, to keep them from robbing your peace. It is possible. So I want to tell you how tonight. And we can see it in many verses in the Bible, but they're here in these two verses. And I want to just give you a couple of things. Number one. Well, before I give you number one, let me tell you this. Having peace is good for your health. Having peace is good for your health. Let me give you a verse. Listen to this. A heart at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace gives life to the body. In other words, if you can't, you cannot avoid stressful situations, and you cannot avoid those things that will rob you from peace, but you can keep them from robbing you of peace. And if you do that, it will certainly be good for your health. By the way, that verse is Proverbs 14:30. Proverbs 14:30. Number one, nowhere to find peace. Nowhere to find peace. And we're given it in this verse. Verse 3. You will keep them in perfect peace. You will keep them in perfect peace. The you here clearly is God. Place to go to find peace is God. He's the only place where you can go and find peace that you will find a peace that lasts. And isn't it interesting that so many people look all over this world for peace and they don't find it, but they're unwilling to go to God to get it? Some people lose themselves in their jobs. Some people in their hobbies. Some people, you know, hide in the closet. Some people go and get drunk, or they get all drugged out. You know, the problem with that is that as soon as it wears off, it's still there. You know, it doesn't go away. You've only made it worse, postponed it, with a headache on top. And if you go long enough, now you not only have the problem you had, but now you have the problem of trying to get rid of the addiction. Why do you know you can look all over the world to find peace? The real answer to peace is God Himself. He's the only one that can give peace that truly is peace. In fact, listen to this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. John 14:27. In other words, when you go to God, He gives you a peace that's different than this world. When I was a kid, we used to get palm branches at Easter on Palm Sunday. And in the church that we went to, And I've mentioned this before, but we would take those palm branches and we would burn them on the stove during a thunder and lightning storm with the dumb belief that somehow if we burn these things religiously on the stove, the lightning would not hit our house. Now think about that. You're afraid of the electricity outside and the lightning, so now you're burning things on your stove so that the electricity, the lightning, doesn't hit you. And we thought somehow that, you know, that like kind of like a good luck charm, that would keep our house safe. But every time the thunder went off, I shook and got scared. It really didn't bring peace. See, the peace that God gives us is not the same kind of peace that this world offers. And this world tells us all the time, all different ways that we can find peace in our life, but yet the world just keeps searching. Have you ever noticed all the books on how to get your life right. And then next year comes and all of a sudden there's a new set of books. Or you find all the health equipment. I especially love the abs. You got the super duper ab dabber that's going to fix your stomach, and then they came out with this other thing, I don't even remember what it was called, where you put it on your stomach and it would pulsate your belly and that would make your abs better. And then there was this another one that would do it while you slept. My mother, well, I'll tell you, she has every machine that you've ever seen on TV, just about. I mean, she buys them all, and they're hanging off her door, and they're in her bedroom, and they're up the steps. I mean, they're just everywhere. In fact, she's given, I could talk about it, she's not here tonight. She even gave me some of the ones that she has. There's always new things that this world has to offer. God never changes. And he's a place we could go to find true peace. In fact, look at verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. You know, God is the one who gives peace. God is the one who keeps peace. God is the one who is sovereignly in control of this entire world. I laugh my head off when I hear these people talk about global warming and the world coming to an end. Because I think to myself, when did God step off the throne? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of our planet. We ought to. I'm not saying that, we shouldn't be careful what we do and, greenhouse, all that stuff. We ought to be doing those things. But who are we, puny human beings, to think that somehow we're going to ruin what God created to the point that it just annihilates? God is on his throne. There's nothing that can come your way that knocks God off his throne. It says, you will keep in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. He says, I told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have troubles. So right after he tells us, in me you'll have peace, he says, in this world you will have trouble. What's he saying? He's saying this, I want you to know. Christ is saying, I want you to know that in spite of the trouble that you're going to have in this world, I will give you peace. Now, what that simply tells me is that what Christ is saying, that there's no trouble that can come my way, that if I'm truly doing what God wants me to do, that has the ability or power to rob my peace, unless I allowed it. We will have trouble in this world, but in this world you can have peace. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Notice he says here in verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace. I looked up this word keep, and it is a word that means to continue in a state. Or maintaining a power of what is given to support or uphold. In other words, if someone gives you something, this word has the idea that you are going to hold on to it, that it's going to stay there. It's not going to leave. God has the ability not only to give peace, but he has the ability to keep your peace. Romans 5:1 says that when we come to Christ, we have peace with God. Philippians 4 says that God will give us peace as we live our lives. This word keep means literally to guard as with a garrison. So I want you to think of this for a moment. If you've been around me long, you know that I like anything pertaining to the military. They came out with a show a number of years ago that I finally have been able to get called The Military Channel. I just love watching it, except they have a lot of repeats on anymore. But I love history, and I love how military works, and often the Word of God often uses military expressions. And the word that is used here has the idea that something is being kept with an army of soldiers around it. As you live your life, If you look for and seek and find out how to have God's peace, I want you to know once you have it, if you continue to do what God wants you to do, I want you to think when trouble comes your way that God has an army standing around you to hold on to your peace. So that those things that are trying to break in and take that peace out of your life, God puts his army around you to guard it, to keep it, so that you can maintain it. And all those things that we've mentioned tonight will not be able to steal it. Guard as with a garrison. He will keep in perfect peace. The phrase here literally means peace, peace. So if we were to read this literally in the Hebrew tonight, it would say this. You will keep in peace, peace. Or we may say you will keep in much peace. You will keep in perfect peace. You will keep in great peace. God not only wants to give you peace, but he wants to give you peace, peace. A number of years ago, back in probably the 70s, there was a thing going on in Christianity like that is going on much today, where people were claiming to be born-again Christians, but then you would look at their lives and you would say, something's not adding up here. So people seeing this started saying this phrase, maybe you've heard it if you've been an older Christian, they start saying, I am saved, saved. By that they meant, I'm really a Christian. God will keep you in peace, peace. Not just a phony, fake peace. He's going to keep you in a real, true-to-life, guard with a garrison kind of peace that guards the peace of your mind and your heart no matter what comes your way. God is the person who can do that for you. You need to know where you get it. And I want you to know you get it from God. If you really want peace, there's no other place to go. You got to go to God. If you go to God, you'll find it. Secondly, be the one of the kept. Be one of the kept. Be one of the kept. Have you ever been with a group of people and you say, I want to be one of them? You know, they were the in group. They were the group that was going for swimming or going for ice cream or doing whatever. And you say, I want to be one of them. I want to be one of those people that knows how to find peace. Have you ever been around some people, I mean some Christians, and they don't have any less troubles than you? They may have more. But somehow they got it. I mean, they really got it. They really learned what Christianity is. They've really found a way to have peace in their life, along with so many other things, but they've learned how to get the peace. They've learned that, you know, when this world throws mud at them, they have this peace that we're talking about tonight. So as we read this verse, it says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. So let me say it this way. I want to be him. I want to be he. I want this to say, you will keep in perfect peace Tom, whose mind is steadfast because Tom trusts in you. I want to be that guy. You know what? I'm not always that guy. There are some things sometimes that rob my peace. And I think as I've grown in the Christian life, there's far fewer of those things. But it's not always there. So I want you to know I'm still growing. So it's kind of like you're going through the crowd and there's a lot of people in the crowd and you want to get to the gate. I think I've moved along in the crowd so there's not as many things that can come and rob my peace. So there's far fewer things. And I'm growing to that point, and I'm learning that, you know, as I live my life, there's less and less things that, I mean, there's a lot of things out there that throw their arrows, But there's far fewer things that kind of pierce. I want to be him. I want to be the guy on a daily basis, day in and day out, that never has their peace robbed. Can't say I'm there yet. But as Paul, I'm pushing forward. I want to be him. Be one of the kept. Him whose mind is steadfast. Well, how do we get there? Well, notice first it says, him whose mind is steadfast. So I want you to know that peace is not automatic. You don't come to Christ and all of a sudden you got great peace. In fact, it sometimes scares me. And I've talked about this with people in our church. It sometimes scares me when someone comes to church and they sit in the service and they say, oh man, this is fantastic. I love this place. This is great. I love the singing. I love the preaching. The people are fantastic. I'm going to stay here the rest of my life. Kind of sound like that car. This is the greatest church I've ever been to. Then you never see him again. Peace is not automatic in the Christian life. It is something that needs to grow in our lives. So notice, peace is that which comes to the mind that is steadfast. The mind is that part of us, that inner part of us that does the thinking and the reasoning in our head. That kind of deals with those arrows and the mud that is thrown at us and all the problems and difficulties that rob us of peace when they come our way. It is that thing that thinks about all those things. So notice it says the person who is this is the mind, the thinking part of us that is steadfast. The word steadfast is a word that means to lean upon something. To lay upon something, to brace yourself. So the one who gets God's peace is the one who braces themselves, who leans their thinking on the one who gives peace. In other words, the more you learn in your life to put your thinking and your mind and centered it in God, centered in Jesus Christ, the more you learn to do what we're about to talk about, the greater will be your ability to have peace, to have perfect peace. So it comes to the person who looks to the giver of peace, to God. It comes to the person whose mind, their thinking, is steadfast. Why? Notice the next phrase. The reason it's given here. Because he trusts in you. So it is that person whose thinking puts their trust in God as life hits you. The physical difficulties, the family difficulties, the work difficulties, the life difficulties, the future difficulties, the Satan lie difficulties, and I don't remember all the rest, but all these difficulties that come our way as we take our thinking and we lean them upon God, we support our thinking in God, so that as these things come our way, we trust God to deal with them. I want you to know that besides my back being worthless, I'm decently strong. My legs are strong, though not as what they used to be. My arms are pretty strong, my shoulders, my chest. You know, the back's the weak link. But I want you to know that if Simon and I got in a fight, I would have to, you know, try to knock him out in the first second, because after that I'm done. He would just take me, because in all my ability, he's still stronger than I am. He's still bigger than I am. And I know that there are things in life that come our way that are bigger than me. And I know there are some things that are no big deal. Although if you don't watch, sometimes there are things that get you. See, what we need to do is we need to take all the things that come our way, little or big, and we need to say, I'm not big enough for any of them. But God, you are. I know that anything that comes my way, all the difficulties we mentioned before, if anything's come my way, I know, God, that if I face them in my own ability, in my own power, I'm going to lose. But if I begin taking my thinking and pointing them towards you and trusting you and leaning upon you, then I can have victory in Jesus. Because that's the way that you find victory. We must learn to trust God, have confidence in God, be secure in God, rely upon God, put your trust in God. So that as things come your way, you just immediately turn to God, you just immediately look to Him for help. Isn't it funny how we learn to have strength and ability over things as we grow in our life, and then all of a sudden something hits us from the other direction and you know we're right back to the beginning again. Put your trust in God. Him whose mind is steadfast. Why? Because he trusts in God. That's the person that can have peace. That's the him. That's the he of these verses. Let me show you an example. Turn with me in your Bible. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without a warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. Said the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you little faith. Why were you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. Now, I want you to know, I was in the boat Friday night with Martin, and my boat goes 7 miles an hour. I timed it. Do you know that if you get a TomTom, you can actually go out on a lake, and it will tell you how fast you're going in your boat, and it will follow you on the lake. You don't even need a road. Well, my boat, we timed it. I go 7 miles an hour. Martin's boat goes 35 miles an hour. I'm used to going 7 miles an hour. I'm not used to going 35 miles an hour. So we were out, and we didn't really catch fish that night, but we are flying on this lake as he speeded it up, and the lake was windy as could be, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this message. And the winds and the storm rose, and the waves came over the boat, and Jesus slept. And I'm sitting in the boat as I'm thinking of this, thinking to myself, I hope this boat don't tip. I hope this boat don't tip. In the middle of a storm, and what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. I mean, he's just out. It's not bothering him. The boat's, you know, it's so bad. And remember, Jesus' disciples, the vast majority of them, they were fishermen. They were used to storms on a lake. So, you know, a normal storm wouldn't bother them. But they're scared, so we know it's a bad storm. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. That's perfect peace. That's the kind of peace that Paul talked about in Philippians 4 that passes all understanding. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Disciples saw him walking on the lake. They were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Let me interpret that. There's some passage that we need interpretation. And so let me give you here. This is the deep interpretation of this phrase. Let me read it again. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Let me interpret that for you. They had no peace. They were terrified. I mean, they're scared to death. They didn't have any peace. In fact, Jesus coming out and they say it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Their response to the storm was a little bit different than Jesus. And I want you to know that Peter got to a point where he finally calmed down and said, "Look, Lord, since it's you, tell me to come to you, and I'll just walk right in the middle of the storm." But then he lost it again, and he had to gain it again. There's so many examples I can give you in Scripture of having Christ's peace and not having Christ's peace. So many examples I can show you of people that relied on God and people who didn't. But I want you to think for a moment about this psalm that I'm sure you know, and you could probably say it in your head without even seeing a Bible. Listen to what it says. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Let me read it this way. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will have your peace." The valley of the shadow of death, what they're talking about here is often a shepherd would take his sheep along valleys, rocky cliffs. And in the cliffs, there would be animals perched there ready to pounce down on the sheep. These would be places where rocks would overhang and it would cause shadows. And, you can imagine walking in the shadows, how scary it might be. He says, "Look, even though I walk into these areas, I will fear no evil." Why? "Because you are with me." See what the psalm really is saying, the psalm that is so well known by so many is, "Look, no matter what comes my way, and even though I walk in these areas, since God is with me, I have peace." In fact, the Bible says it even stronger in another psalm. Listen, "God is our refuge and ever-present. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging." In other words, if the whole world was going to fall away or fall apart, I'm still not going to fear. Because God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help. I want you to know all these things that we talked about, all these difficulties that were mentioned, all these things that come our way, they certainly are things that can rob our peace. But if you will learn, as I have been learning, and still got ways to go, to put our mind, our head, our thinking in God. Look to God as our refuge. Realize that when things come our way, the first thing that we think is, "Wait a minute, God is with me. God is my ever-present help. God is here to help me. I am going to trust God in spite of this." And that is why the psalm says, "Be still and know that I am God." When this world is ready to fall apart, when this world is having all its troubles, he says, "Look, Be still and know that I am God. There are some things in my life, being open and honest, as I asked you to be before, that I can drive people nuts with. Well, I know you could think there's probably a lot of things, but I'm thinking of a particular thing. Wait a minute, don't laugh too hard. I'm thinking of a particular... My wife is up here getting ready to write a list. Oh, you already have a list? Okay. There are things that can do it in all of our lives. And it takes a conscious movement of our thinking to stop. Remember what the firemen teach you? What do they say? Stop, drop, roll. When things come your way, what should we do? Stop, look, and wait. Trust God. Take your mind, take your thinking, lean upon God, the sovereign Savior of this universe, the creator of all, the one who is the rock eternal, and realize whatever comes your way, He is with you. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, we know that we don't live in a perfect world. We know, Father, that some things in life will end in our death. And we know, Father, that some things in life, boy, it's awful sure to find answers for. So, Father, help us to trust You. Help us, Lord, to trust You to fix things in our life. But help us, Father, even those things that we have yet to find a fix for. Or maybe there isn't even a fix until we get to heaven. Help us, Father, to even trust You in those things. I pray, Lord, when this world is in the midst of falling apart, maybe even when our life is in the midst of turmoil, help us, Father, to trust You. Help us to lean upon You. And I pray, Lord, that You might help us to find that peace, that perfect peace, that peace that passes all understanding. Help us, Father, to find it and not lose it. Because we've come to You, the giver of peace. For we pray in Jesus' name.